number 29 as we continue part two of Miracle Signs and Wonders. We have seen in the past program that through the scriptures, we realize, should realize today, that any miracle, signs, and wonders are being done by the devil, not by God. Now, God can do any miracle he wants at any time. But if he sticks to his scriptures, which I think he would do, on a visual public testimony anyway, then we would see that any miracles, signs, and wonders are just what they say, signs. And the Jews go by the signs, and the Gentiles, they don't. They go by wisdom. So let's look at the signs and wonders in the reality that it is, that we're going to see more and more take place, and they're of the devil. Does that phrase that people kind of laugh at nowadays, of the devil, but they are, all prepping for the coming of the Antichrist, which is just the devil himself wanting to be like the Most High. And he's doing things today as signs, these miracles and wonders, to get people to follow him. So when he does show up, Revelation chapter 6, then they'll follow him. And Revelation 19, when he comes, then those that the Antichrist has got in his battle will be fighting on his side against the Lord in Revelation 19. I guess it's up to you today. Do you want to come down with the Lord, or do you want to come to the Antichrist and fight that big battle? We're looking at, again, simplicity of the difference between signs versus faith. Do you have to see something today to believe, or are we going to read that Bible and believe what it says? We have that faith in the risen Savior. It's a battle between the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of God. And like I say, we'll talk about that pretty soon. What it really, really boils down to is the final authority of each person is your final authority of all matters of works and practice from the local church. Or are you willing to put your final authority in all matters of faith and practice in the King James Bible? That's the bottom line. So in program 29 now, let's look at miracles. Now, I'll tell you right now, I can think of at least 1, 2, 3, as I count my notes, 4, 5, 5 or 6 little bunny trails in this particular program. So hang tight, keep your saddle on, and keep your hand on the horn so you don't fall off my bunny trail, these things. But they're just too good a little bunny trails for me to ignore when you get to them. Anyway, let's go to John chapter 2, verse 11. We see here it says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory." He showed forth his glory. "And manifested forth his glory," that's the word, "and his disciples believed on him." That's good. They saw and they believed. Verse 23 of the same chapter, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did." Well, you would think that they would believe that he is the Son of God. That, remember, that's what they had to believe when he was doing those miracles that he was doing. They say in John chapter 3, verse 2, "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." Okay, so they're willing to realize that this Jesus, he was teaching the way of God. Remember that? Quick little bunny trail. Paul teaches the way of God more perfectly, not more errorless, but there's more finished now. There's more going on for the Gentiles. So they believed him because of the miracles that he was doing. Those miracles were given as signs. Now, let's go to John chapter 6, and here's where we're going to pop a few bunny trails in here as well. John chapter 6, verse 2, "And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased." So people are seeing miracles, and they're believing on him and in his name. His name is the Son of God, the Messiah. On him, he's the Son of God, he's the Messiah. No faith involved here. They see and they believe. Let's go to verse 53. Jesus says some things in this chapter that are quite wild for these people to understand because they don't get what he's saying. That's the problem here. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." Well, that's a strange thing to hear. Wait a minute. People still talk about that today. Something is turned into his body, turned into his blood. So this must fit them. "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now, let's keep going here. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, see, synagogue to the Jews, he's not telling that to us, as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, not the 12 apostles, just disciples, those are his average, normal Joe Jew that's following him, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? I mean, he just told these people they had to eat him. That is a little odd, you would think, but millions and millions of people today still think eating his body and drinking his blood gives them eternal life. Well, here it is, chapter 6. Well, you got to keep reading. Rightly divide, and in this case, just keep reading. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if he shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? And now here's the verse. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. He's not telling them to actually eat his flesh and drink his blood. So whether you eat his flesh and drink his blood that day, or whether you do some hocus pocus and turn something into his body and his blood, it doesn't matter. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. If that answer doesn't work, then just realize he's speaking this to the Jews, not to the Gentiles today, so it still doesn't do any good to eat his body and drink his blood, whether you hocus pocus it or just do it in spirituality way. But there are some of you that believe not, verse 64, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. And that is an extremely important verse that deals with the beginning of the church. But that's a bunny trail we won't even get into today. Now, verse 66, and this is interesting, just for what it's worth, chapter 6, verse 66, 666. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, in that time, they should have followed him by believing on his name. But they thought he was telling them to eat him. So they got all confused. Now, today, I wish people would realize that eating his body and drinking his blood has nothing to do with your eternal life. Zero zip. Now, here's a quick bunny trail. Verse 67. Then Jesus said unto the 12, would ye also go away? Now we're talking to the 12, the big 12 right there. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, they knew. And here's what they had to believe, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So that bunny trail reinforces once again that any time you're talking about believing in the Gospels, you're talking about believing that he was the Son of God. He is that Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is not what Paul preaches for salvation at all today. Okay, back on the trail. Let's go back to verse 26. We're talking about miracles today. Miracles as signs. John 6:26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. And that's why he goes and talks about the bread of life, that he's the true bread from heaven. But he had to get them to realize they had to eat him spiritually, not physically. And when they heard that, most of them took a hike. They lost a lot of people that day. Another bunny trail. Speaking of bread, we're going to go to Luke chapter 4. And it says in this King James Bible, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but for every word of God. Now, if you go back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Isn't that fantastic? The word of God, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, if you don't have a King James Bible there in front of you, your verse in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, does not have, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Doesn't that tell you something? Somebody doesn't want you to live by the word of God. Let's go back to John chapter 12. Let's get back on track. We're going to John chapter 12, verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, they believed not on him. Oh, so we got people that aren't even believing in miracles. I wonder how many people today that believe in miracles, and they say they've seen miracles enough to believe, but I wonder how long it takes for the doubt to set in about the regular life of a Christian. I wonder how many times you need a miracle to bring you back to the program. We're going to go to Acts chapter 2 now. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. This is pretty obvious. This is a good rightly dividing illustration. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Are you a man of Israel? No. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. People had to know that he was of God. He actually was God, according to Paul, where he says, God manifest in the flesh. And here we see, but these wonders and miracles were given as signs so that they would believe, they would know. Acts chapter 6, verse 8, even Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people, and it wasn't much longer, and they killed him. They stoned him. People just don't like sermons that really tell the truth, I guess. Acts chapter 8, verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. Well, why would they listen to Philip? Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, here's another one. Acts chapter 8, verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Again, he believed by what he saw. Now, bunny trail really quick like here. Let's look back to verse 14, and let's kind of look at this story. There's a little more to this story that we just can't ignore, because this guy Simon, he saw what he saw. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, so they don't even get the Holy Ghost yet. Isn't that interesting? For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. They were just baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Take note of that. Have you heard anything like that today? Oh, sure you have. That's a common teaching in the Pentecostal world. Somebody asked me a long time ago. I told him I was saved. And he said, well, have you received the Holy Ghost? And I knew nothing at the time. And I thought, well, if I'm saved, I would certainly think so. Well, he said you could prove it by speaking in tongues. And I guarantee you we will talk about that very soon here. But let's get back off the bunny trail onto the main bunny trail here. And when Simon saw through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given them, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, wouldn't that be nice if somebody could give you some money, and then you could lay your hands on them and heal them, because you've got the Holy Ghost. See how that works? Ever heard of that today? Oh, yeah. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this manner, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Has any preacher ever told you, you need to get your heart right? That is a gospel teaching, that is a statement, that is a situation, that is a problem, only true to the Jews. Paul never talks about that. Couple little quick bunny trails here about some of this, the gift of the Holy Ghost and the heart is not right. See, you can find anything and teach anything in the King James Bible. But if you do rightly divide it, they all fit into the dispensational place. And the dispensational place of today to the Gentiles is the dispensation of grace, taught to us by Paul, who was taught by the risen Savior himself, face to face to Paul. So what we're looking at here is looking at signs and wonders and miracles that took place during the gospel days. Well, are you saying that Paul didn't? Well, I'll show you something pretty interesting here in a couple minutes here. Let's go back. We just finished Acts 8:13. Let's go on to signs. Some of the few verses that talk about just signs on their own. Okay, let's go back to Matthew 16. And then we'll look and see if Paul has anything to say about miracles, signs, and wonders. Let's go to Matthew 16, verse 3. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Well, there's another phrase that we hear today, signs of the times. Well, are we supposed to look at everything that's happening in our world today as signs? Well, I might say clues. We see us getting closer and closer to the tribulation, but are they there for signs? No, it's just that the scriptures tell me what the tribulation's like, and we see it getting closer and closer. But could we say signs of the times? No, because we don't go by signs, which I'll show you. Hang in there. So when you hear somebody teaching you the signs of the times, they're actually trying to teach you tribulational doctrine because that is where they will see signs of the times. So again, any pamphlets or books or TV programs or whatever, or preachers talking about the signs of the times, they're ahead of themselves. They're talking about tribulational doctrine because, yes, they will have signs of the times, and yet they won't be able to discern them. Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. Oh, there'll be things going on, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So if those people during the tribulation follow those things that they see, follow those things that prove to this crowd that that particular person is of the Christ, he's helping you get ready for when the actual beast himself shows up, but they never say beast. Well, that's the Antichrist that's showing up. And they're going to trick these people, the elect or the Jews, going to trick these people by these signs and wonders, going to get them to follow this Antichrist, them thinking it's finally the real Jesus coming back. Okay, so what are we doing today looking to miracles and signs and wonders? We're not even in that dispensation. The goodness of God is what leads us to repentance. The goodness of God is what gets us excited about being a Christian. It's the goodness of God, and it's the goodness of God's grace that even helps us get through these days. Not looking for signs and wonders and miracles that make our life better. Okay, let's go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Look back at verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Oh, speaking in tongues is a sign, huh? Well, let me show you. We'll get to that in a minute here. We go to Luke 21, Luke chapter 21, verse 11. And great earthquake shall be in divers places. That means many places. Divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. So is that what we're seeing today? Are we seeing famine? Well, there's been famines in this world before. Pestilences, sure there are. So they're starting to get closer to home, aren't they? Yeah, they are. Or is that a sign? No, but that's a clue that this tribulation is getting closer. It's not a sign that Christ is coming, because that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the rapture. So if anybody's looking for a Christ to come because of what they think are earthquakes in diverse places and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs from heaven, they're actually from the devil. And they're getting people to follow. So that tribulation kicks into gear officially when the Gentile nation is cut off and they go back into the works doctrine, things like that. Then that's when they need to open up their eyes and start looking for these things. But for now, and when that tribulation comes along, they're looking for the wrong Christ. They'll be geared up to be looking for the wrong Christ. It's going to be hard enough to be in the tribulation, but I think it would be very difficult to be in the tribulation. Knowing what you've heard today, let's say that that tribulation kicks into gear during our lifetime, which is very possible. And then you find out that, oh, what this Paulson guy was preaching about the risen Savior and Jesus' teachings, I better get caught up on those. Well, I'm sorry, but if that's the tribulation, not only are you going to feel bad because you were deceived and you were following the wrong Christ, in order for you to get it right, you're going to have to follow Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Yeah. The patience of the saints are that they keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus and don't take the mark. You can forget about Paul's teachings about the dispensation of grace. That's over with. You missed it. And that's just going to have to be a really hard fact to accept. Luke 21, again, back to chapter 21, if you haven't lost your spot, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring. Didn't we see a bunch of the news here a couple of weeks ago about the moon turning blood red? All in the talk of the town was the fact that maybe the Lord's going to come after that. No, not yet. This is not the tribulation. If anybody thinks this is the tribulation, this isn't bad. We've had hard times. America's having times they haven't had this hard for quite a while, but it's not the tribulation. Well, how can you say that? Nobody's making anybody take the mark. It's there. It's an option. They're talking about it. Is that a sign? No, it's not a sign of Jesus coming. It's a clue that the Antichrist is getting ready to come is what it is. Okay, let's look at John 4:48. Now, here we go. We get some more serious verses now. John 4:48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Well, he's not telling that to the Gentiles. He's telling that to the Jews. In fact, John chapter 20, verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And that's just that small book. Can you imagine all the things that Jesus did those as signs? They had to be miracles and wonders. He was of God. He could do those things. And people believed, and some people didn't believe. But you got to remember, this is gospel days. This is all to the Jews. This is for us. As for our learning, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We see what's taking place, but we don't need to be looking for signs. In fact, if we see any signs and wonders and miracles about a Jesus, they're talking about the Antichrist. Once you accept that statement right there, you will start to see things differently. And then let's finish up with Paul. Let's go to Paul. What does he say about this stuff? Well, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, which is just before 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And then Paul goes on and says, but we preach Christ crucified, the risen Savior, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. People think what we're talking about the teachings of the risen Savior. They all say they believe that Jesus Christ, you know, he died, was buried, and rose again. They believe that, but they don't believe that he went to Paul in his risen state to talk to us Gentiles. Everybody's being taught these Jewish teachings. That's an amazing thing. And he says right here to the Jews, what we're preaching here is a stumbling block. What to the Gentiles, to the Greeks there, and to the Greeks, it's foolishness to people today. Yes, what we're talking about in this program is foolishness to most listeners, I would think, unless they're listening closely here. And now we have to remember when it comes to Paul, that when Paul got saved and got into the ministry of presenting God's Son to the Gentiles, as it's stated, we have to remember that first he went to the Jews, then he went to the Jews and the Gentiles, then he ended up going to the Gentiles only. So when you read Paul talking about signs and wonders, you're talking about when Paul was working, he was going from the Jews to the Jews and the Gentiles. There's a transition in there. You'll see in the context of each one of those references where he talks about Paul and signs and wonders and miracles, the Jews are right there. For example, let's go to Acts chapter 14. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, Paul and Barnabas there, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil afflicted against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Jews and Gentiles are both there. Acts 15:12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Romans 15:19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Antiochium I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul admits signs and wonders. He says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. He knew that the apostles did those sorts of things. It says in Acts chapter 19, verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. There's no doubt that Paul dealt with signs and wonders, but remember, he was still dealing with Jews and Gentiles, because eventually, at the end of Paul's ministry, when he's working with Gentiles only, then he says something like this, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So Paul knew that these signs, these miracles, these signs and wonders are from God to the Jews because they needed signs, and so eventually going to go to the Jews and Gentiles, or the Gentiles are going to see something, get excited as they do, but the Jews get upset. And then eventually when the Jews reject what Paul is teaching, then Paul goes on to the Gentiles only, and then signs and wonders and miracles and tongues, etc., are gone. They're done. Now if the signs and the wonders come up, is coming up by, as he says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. And then let's finish up with 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And this will lead us into another subject here pretty soon. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign. Well, Paul teaches how to speak in tongues by that. Yes, he does, chapter 14. That's because during that day it was okay. We'll talk about that later on. So tongues are for a sign. Do we follow signs today? Not supposed to. Clues, yes. Signs, no. Tongues? Paul did. There's a reason for it. There's some things that were taking place at that time. Jews were still there. They still had signs. That's why he says, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. For prophesying, prophesying is teaching the word of God, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So those that didn't believe needed to look at tongues as a sign. Those that believed, they could take the prophesying, they could take the preaching. But those that didn't believe didn't like to hear the preaching. So if you want to follow signs today, you'll follow the tongue speakers. If you want to follow preaching today, you'll follow the risen Savior's teachings to Paul, and those that don't believe will think it's foolish. And yes, folks, that's where we are today with miracles, signs, and wonders. It is a huge deception prepping people for the coming of the Antichrist, Revelation chapter 6, while those in the know that the real Christ is coming, Revelation 19, and we will be coming with him. We are waiting for the end of the Gentile nation to be cut off. That's called what we call the rapture. Okay, we will talk to you at the next program.